And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's good, Bucs Nation? The Cannons might have gone quiet on Monday night, but make no mistake, the fire in Tampa Bay is still burning. You are locked into RBLR Bucs, the home for passion, pain, and pride, and everything in between when it comes to your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Folks, I am one of your co-hosts tonight, Musab, and yeah, that one hurt. 24-9 loss to the Detroit Lions on primetime. Not exactly what we wanted to see. The execution just wasn't there. The rhythm was off. It just felt like a missed opportunity to show the league who we really are. But if there's one thing we know about this team, it's that they bounce back every single time. All right. And what better stage for redemption than against a division rival, the New Orleans Saints? Sunday, 4 o'clock. It's personal. It's physical. And, you know, it's got all the makings of a statement game, especially after a loss like that. So, you know, you best believe both sides are probably going to be coming in hot with something to prove. But this is Tampa Bay's chance to remind the NFC South who still runs these waters. All right. But we've got a loaded show coming your way, breaking down what went down and wrong in Detroit and, you know, the adjustments we need to make. And, you know, we'll take a walk out of this weekend and, you know, look at, you know, what we got this upcoming Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. So sit back, buckle up, and get ready for the ride. This isn't just talk. This is RBLR Bucs. And because of that, we want to give you a friendly reminder. We want to hear from you, Bucs fans everywhere. It don't matter where you are, whether you're also on YouTube, X, Instagram, Facebook Live, drop your takes, your emotions, your love, or your hate for this team. Win or lose, we're in it together. All right, but enough for me. Let's bring in the rest of the crew. First off, the guy who breaks down film like he's crafting a game plan himself, always seeing what others miss, your co-host, your football brain on fire, Mr. Zach Blaine. How we doing, Zach?
Hold on, brother. I'm doing good. I'm exhausted, man. Work and baseball's been kicking my butt lately, but, you know, glad to get on here and talk some football even after a rough Monday.
It was a rough one. Yeah, sometimes I felt like this day was bound to happen. And, you know, creds go out to Detroit Lions. This is not just some random loss. You know, they got a good team. So, you know.
And those refs got to give them their credit too.
Yeah, so. but we also got joining us the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio. As I always say, he is the voice of reason. With film insight sharper than a Jamel Dean jam at the line, he is your analyst, our co-host, your Bucs insider, Mr. Carter Brantley.
Hi, man. How are y'all? How are you doing, Musab? I know we just did our Bulls show this.
Yeah, man. Doing good. Yeah. You know, it was obviously a tough L. It just sucks just because, you know, primetime games, especially Monday Night Football, you know, your regular football fan is also probably tuned in as well. Especially right. With all the talk going on with the Buccaneers, we're 5-1, Baker Mayfield, potential MVP, you know, all that kind of stuff going against, you know, a fiery Lions game, so or Lions team. So it was definitely a game, you know, that everyone was watching. Unfortunately, you know, there's always those people who, or my friends who always crap on me every time the Buccaneers do bad. You know, Yeah. They're all quiet. You know, they're all quiet when the Buccaneers look good, but. You know, everyone wants to chirp, you know, when the Bucs don't look good, but that's as friendly fire, as they say.
That's right. Or unfriendly fire, shall you
unfriendly,
say.
Unfriendly, yeah.
Yeah. No, I feel you, man. It was, it was a rough one. I don't know that any of, I think we all picked the Bucs to lose. So, I mean, I don't know if we should all be entirely surprised, but at the same time, you know, I think we expected it to be a little bit more competitive than it actually was. Like Musab and Zach have been saying, it was just a tough game. And for everyone involved, really, the Bucs, it was a rough game. The Lions kept just losing cornerback after cornerback, and the refs looked rough too. So really just a bad look for all parties involved.
After a second review.
Right. Yeah. After we took a second look at the game, the Bucs actually won. They scored 16 extra points after the second review. No, we're kidding. But, we're, of course, referencing the weird, egregious review call of the K. Dotton drop. I don't even know what you call it. Yeah, it was a weird game in a lot of aspects, but I did want to ask if we can learn anything from it. I don't know if I can really take anything away from a game like this on the road against one of the best teams in football. They're banged up. I'm not taking anything away from this, but Zach, you're the kind of, I feel like of the two of us, you might be a little bit more glass half empty.
So. Oh, 100%.
100%. So maybe you're a little bit more pessimistic.
It sucks that at this point in our, we've been podcasting together for a while now, and I'm the negative one, which is wild. I can learn that our offensive line is trash right now. Charlie Heck is not and should never start another game in the NFL.
Yeah, he was rough.
Our linebackers suck.
Yeah.
That's really it. I mean, I know everyone's going to go put the blame on Baker, and I'm all for it. There was a lot of stuff that he could have done different. But when you have 0.6 seconds to throw the ball, it's kind of hard for your wide receivers to run routes and you be able to make an accurate throw. I'm not taking the blame off of Baker because obviously, like I said, there was a few throws. I think while I was watching, I saw three or four that he definitely overthrew an open receiver. There was that one touchdown to Tez on the post route that would have been a score that he overthrew. And I don't even think he was necessarily pressured on that one, but he was pressured all night. So I think the biggest takeaway for me is we need some help and we need some help bad.
Yeah, yeah, definitely missing Luke Gedecky for sure. Yeah, Luke Gedecky's return will be a welcome sight for sure. And excuse me, yeah, there's Charlie Heck. My goodness, that poor guy. Reminiscent of Justin School last year, having to deal with Aiden Hutchinson.
I would like to have School back.
Right, yeah. At this point, honestly,
I think they also both wore number 77.
Oh, Lord, Musab, don't say that. Oh, man, that's brutal. Yeah, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson's one of the best, if not the best, pass rusher in the NFL right now. So just that combination of him and having Charlie Heck, it was going to go poorly. And, yeah, like you said, Baker missed some easy throws, but at the same time, like, you got Aiden Hutchinson coming at you all game, you know, you're going to be a little antsy. You know, you're going to be a little nervous, and understandably so. So, yeah, it was a frustrating watch. It was a frustrating watch for sure. So, yeah, not a whole lot of fun. But Mr. Tariq, you might be a little bit more optimistic than me and Zach. But I don't know. What were your thoughts on Sunday's game? Is there anything that, or Monday's game? Is there anything that you can take moving forward for the Bucs?
No, we just got a lot to clean up on. I mean, it's just that, you know, no one, or, you know, offense couldn't rely on the defense. Defense couldn't rely on the offense. You know what I'm saying? Just all around, unfortunately, it just was a sloppy game. The energy, first of all, we just couldn't match their energy, just everything about it. I mean, being an away game, the Lions were just fired up. The crowd was fired up. And then, unfortunately, it looks like, you know, the refs were part of the Lions' energy as well, or at least a contributing factor. But all jokes aside, yeah, Baker Mayfield was struggling. But, yeah, going off what Zach was saying, it's hard, you know, when you only have, like, 0.6 seconds, you know, to get rid of the ball. Doesn't, you know, help when, you know, your star Mike Evans is out, you know, with the injury. That was just unfortunate, scary, and, you know, kind of just, you know, put you down a little bit. But the biggest thing was kind of just, you know, abandoning the run game. That was probably just like what I was like, okay, just because I felt like, you know, there was just an extreme imbalance overall. But defense, they did what they could at times, but it's just, you know, unfortunately, they were at disadvantageous spots throughout the whole game. They were getting exhausting. Offense couldn't make anything, you know, happen. So, you know, only so much you can do. And, you know, it's not like, you know, this defense was some kind of game-changing kind of defense either. I feel like we all know that. You know, we've seen some good things overall, but for the most part this season, we've been winning because of our offense. Minus that 49ers game we had, the defense hasn't really, you know, impressed me or anything. So, doesn't help that, you know, yeah. And then, I mean, the cherry on top was this, yeah, just getting embarrassed by Jahmyr Gibbs with the run game
defense. Right. That was the most bizarre piece for me, is that the Bucs defense has been inconsistent, to put it kindly. But the run defense has been fairly solid all year, and they were awful. And yeah, like they couldn't stop Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, like the Lions offensive line pretty much did whatever they wanted. The play calling for the Lions was great. They clearly knew what was up with the Bucs defense running the football. But what was, I don't know if I can even say encouraging in a game like this, but they got after Jared Goff. They had some nice sacks, and they caused a few turnovers, or at least one turnover or two, which that had been a weak point for the Bucs. So it's weird, like the things that they've been good at, they struggled mightily with, and the things they've been bad at, they were actually like kind of passable at. So it was a weird game, a really, really strange game. And I don't think either of those things are sustainable. Like, I don't think they're going to become a good, you know, they don't have a good pass rush, and I don't think they're going to be picking guys off all the time. But I also don't think they're going to give up close to 200 yards rushing every game. So I think, you know, there's not a whole lot to take away from this game. But yeah, Zach, like you said, the offensive line is going to continue to be an issue until Gadecki gets back. Because you can just kind of pick on Heck or whoever they line up out there. Because even if they don't, even if they move on from Heck, if they move to the rookie out of Georgia State, who
Chukwuma, I don't know how to say it.
Ben Chukwuma.
Yeah, there's like, that would be kind of fun, but he could go out there and look lost. You know, like
it can't be much worse.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know if he can be much worse, but then again, we say that, and you know, we don't want to speak that into existence. But no, I do feel you though. Maybe it's time to give him a shot. I don't know. We'll see. But shifting the focus back to the Lions, because you know, they look pretty darn good. I know they kind of got hosed a little bit by Kansas City the week before. You know, they had their own issues with the referees, as every NFL team does against Kansas City. Musab, was this an impressive enough performance for you from the Lions to make them like NFC favorites, or are you still kind of in wait and see mode? What are your thoughts on the Lions prospects moving forward?
Ooh, a little bit of wait and see, I would probably say, but no, definitely a good win. I expected it. I mean, they got good guys.
Yeah, they're a tough team.
It's kind of just, you know, I think the biggest shocker was seeing how many backup defensive backs they had. You know, I really wasn't that aware that they were like all backups. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens. And then nothing really happened.
A whole lot. Yeah.
So this is exactly what I was saying, Carter, was like, you know, if the DBs can't step up, hopefully the pass rush, you know, does it. And that's what they did. Yep. The pass rush was so dominant, thanks to our offensive line as well, that, you know, it's not like the DBs did nothing, but I mean, you know, they had some help.
Yeah, no, they had some big help from Aiden Hutchinson. My goodness, I think he leads the NFL in pressure rate and overall pressure is like just insane stuff from Aiden Hutchinson this year. He clearly has put that injury in the rear view and in the city behind him. Like just, yeah, he's been insane this year, and he continued that really impressive performance. But Zach, how about you? What are your thoughts on the Lions prospects as NFC contenders and maybe Super Bowl contenders? What do you think about them moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, they were the only other team I was worried about in the NFC. And it was between us or the Bucs, or us or the Lions, in my opinion. So I kind of expected this to be a knockdown, drag out war. But with that being said, I expected it to be a war and not a what do the Vikings do? They raid your village.
Didn't do that.
So I'm just, I think that they have a good shot, just like any other, just like before the game, I thought they had a good shot. So this game didn't necessarily change my opinion on them.
Sure.
Because I never thought they were ever out of the conversation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get you.
They're a nasty team, and I mean that in a good way, not like –
Yeah, no, I get you.
So I think that they just kind of showed us that, hey, you know, you got to bring your A game next time.
Yeah, yeah, and it's tough because hopefully, theoretically, knock on wood, you know, the Bucs will be a much healthier team when they face off the Lions next, but the Lions secondary might also be a little healthier too, so that might kind of – even out, you never know.
Yeah, so. Realistically, I'm not necessarily worried about their secondary. Even if it was their starters, it's the pass rush that I'm worried about.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I feel that Baker could go against the best defensive backs in the league and have success. But when you're, again, like we said in the beginning, when you've got I'm making the number up, but I'm just saying 0.6 seconds to throw the ball away, any defensive backfield will look great. Like, we probably would have been Super Bowl contenders with Tyreek Funderburk last year if our team was getting pressure like they are.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, that's why pass rushers are paid so handsomely. You know, they have a very big impact on games, and Aiden Hutchinson had a good show of that for sure this past weekend. But Musab, posing this question to you, I wanted to ask about the wide receiver injuries because they're piling up. Mike Evans, unfortunately, is probably going to be out for, I think, the most recent number is at least 8 weeks. So that's tough. And, you know, Emeka Egbuka looked less than 100%. I did not – that was not Emeka Egbuka, like, you know, full strength. I think that's safe to say. So what are your thoughts on the wide receiver injuries moving forward? Because, man, it's Tez Johnson, wide receiver one, you know. Like, Tez Johnson's very good. Like, I think very highly of him. But that's a tough thing to put on around a seventh rounder. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on the wide receiver injuries moving forward?
Oh, it's concerning, of course, but I just, you know, hopefully I'm just hoping our offensive line is able to do something. Thankfully, it's the Saints and, you know, not the Lions this week. So, you know, get a nice, good idea, you know, what our backups look like. I mean, they have potential, but it, of course, Carter, it is scary to think that, yeah, you know, you're counting on Tez Johnson now, you know, to, you know, help you win. But I do think that, you know, although he's not a wide receiver, I do think that Cade Otton will continue to, you know, get more action as he has these last couple of. I see you nodding your head, man. What do you got? What do you have against Cade Otton?
And look what happened.
For sure, yeah.
Targeted a lot. We put up 9 points. Like,
I know.
Not be one of our main targets. That's my issue, and it's not even a dig on Cade Otton. He's just not that guy. I think he's great as a role player.
Someone has to be that guy, Zach. You know, like
you're
going through.
Unfortunately, not unfortunately, but fortunately and unfortunately at the same time, I guess, is going to be Tez Johnson. It's going to be Tez Johnson and Sterling Sharp.
For sure. No, it's Sterling Sharp.
Shepherd.
Sterling Sharp would be great.
I wish. Yeah, but it's going to be Shepherd and Johnson. When you lean heavy on Cade Otton, you see low scoring games that the defense has to keep us in. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that that's a recipe for success with this defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because, you know, like Musab said, he got targeted kind of a lot. It seems like him and Baker do have a decent rapport. But, Zach, like you said, when Cade Otton is your leading receiver, that's usually not a good sign. That's not a sign that your offense is cooking with gas. But at the same time, like Tez Johnson is still one of the smallest players in the league. Like, can he bear the load of being a wide receiver one? We'll see. You know, he certainly got the talent for it. I do worry about, you know, next week, like if they play the Saints and he has to catch 8 or 9 targets, or he gets 9 or 10 targets, that starts to build up and then he gets hurt again. So, or not again, but then he gets hurt and now we're on wide receiver 6 or whatever, you know. It's just, I'm hopeful though, because Tez Johnson has shown a lot. Like, he's really, really impressive. So, yeah, it's more the build up, like the, you know, just, I don't know if he can manage all of that because it's a lot, especially for a guy his size, but you know, if he can, then he'll be great. So yeah, we'll see how the wide receiver room plays out for the rest of the season, because that's definitely going to be a storyline to monitor. But if you're looking for an upgrade to your wardrobe, much like the Bucks are probably looking to upgrade their offensive line or their wide receiver room, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code because it was a bummer of a week and we all deserve it. Cannon, CANNONS. Type that in and get 10% off your entire order. Mr. Musab Tariq, as always, rocking the fire gear. He's rocking RBLR.
Not the best view, but I'll back it up a little bit. But, you know, it's got that, you know, that dream team edition.
Indeed. Musab's backing it up for
maybe,
us.
Maybe our Buccaneers will look like the dream team this weekend.
Maybe. Hopefully against the Saints for sure. But, yeah, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. If you want to be more like Musab Tariq, because we all do, then definitely head there. We'd really appreciate it. All right, so speaking of those Saints, that's the game up next, and we're going to preview that. But before we do, the trade deadline is kind of around the corner, and obviously the Bucks not the most active in the trade market. They don't usually make a lot of trades. And I did want to read off some numbers. since 2002. This was a really interesting study that Sumer Sports did, breaking it down by position, which positions get traded the most since 2002. And I know that we're going to talk about probably offensive line help, but I'll tell you, there have been a total of 7 offensive linemen traded since 2002. So I don't know how realistic that is, but there are other needs that the Bucs could address, including offensive line. Maybe they buck the trend. So Zach, what are some positions of need that the Bucs are that the Bucs could realistically be looking at during this trade deadline?
I mean, I think you're realistically, like, I don't think there's anyone Tampa couldn't go get if they wanted to. And I'm a firm believer in that. I think if Tampa would stop holding on to those draft picks so tight and make a push for a Super Bowl, which I genuinely think that's the one thing holding us back, is that we're so hell-bent on keeping every draft pick that we don't make any significant trades ever. Recently, I should say, like in the Baker era. I think we need to look at edge hard, especially considering Hassan went out on the cart last week, right, which we didn't really talk about. But with him going out on the cart, I don't know if there's been any news yet, but I haven't seen anything. But usually if a guy goes out on a cart, it's not a 2 or 3 week injury. It's sure, a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting we need edge, and as much as we need O-line, I think inside linebacker is just as important right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Inside linebacker for sure. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, the linebacker in the edge, position, especially, I think would be a little bit more realistic. And, you know, we'll see, because it's tough, because you don't want to just trade a draft pick just to trade for somebody, right? Like, you have to trade for someone of high impact. And, you know, the kind of the two biggest names, quote unquote, in my mind would be like Bradley Chubb and Trey Hendrickson. Those are two teams that are kind of floundering.
Yeah. Give me Max Crosby on a 5-year contract.
Oh, man. Max Crosby, he's probably going to cost at least 2 first-round picks, maybe 3. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a big splash. I don't know.
If it were Max Crosby, yeah, on an expiring deal, I wouldn't be for it. But you've got a first-round pick for 5 years at most that you don't know if it's going to work out. You know Max Crosby is a sure thing. He always has been. And you got him for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, and pass rushers like that don't grow on trees, and the Bucs have clearly struggled to do that. But, yeah, I don't know. 3 first-round picks is a lot to give up for a pass rusher, even one caliber of Max Crosby. I'd do a
3 for Max Crosby.
That's what's going to take. That's what it's going to take. Cause,
how much did Micah Parsons take?
He got 2 first-round picks and a defensive tackle.
Take Desmond Watson in 2s, in 2 firsts. I don't care.
It was Kenny Clark.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but Micah Parsons is better than Max Crosby.
That's true. That's true. It's tougher with in-season stuff, and Micah Parsons was seeking a new contract. Like, the Packers had to give him a new contract immediately. Max Crosby's already on a deal, and, like, with a pass rusher of his caliber, it pretty much immediately becomes team-friendly because the Cavs
– you're going to release Greg Gaines in a couple of first rounds.
Right, Greg Gaines. No, what's – who is our favorite at the beginning of the year? Adam Gostis.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Look, my point is, I think Max Crosby will make a bigger impact to our team in the next 2 years than any rookie you're taking in the first round, unless you need like a quarterback, which we don't.
Sure. And my it's not even necessarily a counter argument. If you can get Max Crosby for 2 first round picks, yes, do it. Pull the trigger immediately. I don't know if that's realistic. I do think it's going to take 3, because that extra first round pick is going to counter for the contract that he has, that he's under, because the Bucs aren't going to have to worry about paying him long term. He's already paid. He's already under a contract. And like I said, that contract just immediately becomes team friendly because he's so freaking good. Pass rushers are so valuable, and the cap continues to rise. So I don't know. I'd love to see that. That would be a huge splash. And if they could get him for 2 firsts, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing. I don't know. Musab, weigh in here, though. What are your thoughts on Max Crosby? And obviously, we kind of jokingly said, but what's the most
– these things all sound – these things sound, you know, great and all that. And I think that, yeah, we're in a win-now mode as well. And, you know, getting, you know, like a nasty, you know, edge rusher would be very helpful. But it just, you know, can would the Bucks actually do that? You know, have we seen anything won't. Like that they from won't. Them? Yeah. So
that's not a real
thing. It's just yeah. So, but I mean, I did see something about Trey Hendrickson. So I actually did see some article on that. So there are other people thinking, you know, there's something in the air, maybe. But
yeah, I mean, of all the years to do it, like the NFC is probably the weakest that it's ever going to be. And Baker looks great. The offense looks really good. They clearly have like one of the best, deepest wide receiver rooms in the NFL. So, you know, of all the years that Jason Light would maybe get a little aggressive, this would maybe be the year to do it. In previous years, like I think just to play devil's advocate again, kind of sitting on a fence here, you know, they had dealt with all the voidable years of the Tom Brady era with Baker Mayfield in tow, and they had to draft, like they were starting Zion McCollum. Like Zion McCollum was like a fourth or fifth round pick. Ideally, you don't want that guy starting. It's turned out, you know, knock on wood, okay. But like,
has it though? How good's our pass defense been?
I feel you, but for a fourth or fifth round pick to be able to at least jog him out there to start, that's at least fine. And then they've also had to, you know, they've been relying on third round picks a lot. Like third round picks are usually not starting as much as Tyke Smith has, as much as Yaya Diaby has. Like there have been just a lot of these mid to late round selections that have played kind of huge roles. I mean, Tez Johnson is the best example ever. Like he was a seventh rounder. Like if the Bucks trade that pick away, then they don't get Tez Johnson. Bucky Irving was a fourth rounder. Like if they trade,
what do we need our first rounds for if we're so good at drafting in the later rounds?
I feel you. And it would be
that's my issue with it. I understand we're going to have contracts coming up with Tristan. Or Tristan Wirfs got his contract, but you're going to have
Baker, he's going to get paid.
You're going to have Godwin money going up. So, like, I get it. But also, do we just want to be mediocre? Because taking – you're always going to have usually a two-year gap before you see any rookies making an actual impact. If we weren't down Godwin and Evans, we wouldn't see Amika playing the way that he is. Like, it's just not – unless it's like a key position and he's like the clear-cut best player at that position out of college, you're going to get years before they're playing to their full potential.
Yeah, I don't know. Because Grant Barton came in and immediately started. And like you said, Amika came in and he's been – you know, he's been one of the best wide receivers in football so far.
But Graham Barton wasn't even the best rookie center last year.
Sure. I feel you. But, you know, he was starting. And they turned that rush offense completely around, like literally worst to almost first. So, I don't know. It's really hard to – it's hard to – I don't know. It's hard to kind of visualize or think about, like, the fact that, you know, they're going to – they're going to have to pay Baker, and we just don't know what that number is, and we don't know what the Bucks' salary cap situation is going to be because it's such a flexible thing. Like, what does Mike Evans do? What does Lavonte David do? They're also going to have to – like, not only do they have to deal with the fact that they have an awful inside linebacker too, next year they're not going to have Lavonte David more than likely. Like, what do they do there? Like, he just can't fill all of these holes if you don't have – because then it just – all the priorities just sort of shift back if you don't have a first-round pick, which I get they haven't been successful with anyways, but – it's just hard. It's really difficult.
I don't want it to sound like I'm saying they've not been successful with first round picks. That's not how I mean it.
No, I get
you. More so mean if we can get a guy that we know for sure is going to make an impact on this team the second he steps into the building, which I fully think that Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, guys like that would make an impact on this defense and this team as a whole day one in the building. If Tampa goes and drafts, I don't even know who a good edge rusher is in college football right now. I don't watch college football until it's draft time, then I watch video. If they go and draft an edge rusher round one next draft, right? I don't know if he makes a difference day one. I don't know if he makes a difference year one.
Sure.
That's kind of my issue behind it. And it's not even necessarily who they're drafting or what position. It's just rookies in general.
Yeah, and I definitely feel you. But I think that's another argument for the Raiders demanding three first-round picks instead of two, because two first-round picks for Max Crosby on his contract, like you're not going to get another Max Crosby with those first two first-round picks. With three first-round picks, then you're cooking a little bit. And three first-round picks is probably too much for the Bucks to pay for all of that.
I think three first-round picks is too much for any player, if I'm being honest. Because, I don't think I'd give up three. If they asked for two and a third, I would do two and a third. I would.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even blink an eye. I would be happier than a pig in shit if Oakland offered that to us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know that Vegas is going to budge from that three.
Oh, I said Oakland, didn't I? I meant Vegas.
No, you're good. We can still call it Oakland. Screw Vegas. But yeah, I don't know that they budge from that three first round pick movement just because they have a lot of leverage due to the fact that he's under a contract and he's not being weird. He's not demanding a trade or anything. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that two first round picks and a third gets it done. But we'll see. Musab, are there any other positions other than maybe pass rush that you're thinking of for the Bucks to try to deal for?
Oh, dear Lord. I mean, I was just going to say just offensive line more than anything.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I mean, that's not something.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen too often.
Possible or, you know, it doesn't really pop into this equation. So,
right.
I mean, I was just thinking, you know, I mean, look, we get someone like Max Crosby, but that still means Baker is going to have 0.6 seconds to throw the ball. So,
right. Yeah. It's tough,
you know, man.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so, any good offensive lineman, especially a tackle, like no team's giving it up, you know, like the Texans gave up Laremy Tunsil and they are regretting it, you know, big time. Like they traded Laremy Tunsil and I think that they would take Laremy Tunsil back for a second round pick at this point. And they only got, I think they only got a third for him. Offensive tackles just are really hard to get. And when you have a good one, you know, a team's not going to trade him. So yeah, it's hard. I don't know what to say about the offensive line because I don't know that there are any necessarily, or I don't know that there are going to be any exterior or outside improvements. So I don't know. I would hope so, and I would love to see it. But
we also got to think we've got some injured players coming back on.
Yeah, for sure.
That is good news. Of course.
Yeah.
No, that's good news. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, our offensive line hasn't just completely looked bad this whole season so far. Of course, it's just, you know, when it really matters, aka when you're going against, you know, a true opponent, you know, like, you know, NFC, you know, championship contender, Super Bowl contender, then
yeah.
You know, the question, you know, just comes in your head. Well, you know, do we have it? No, we don't have it because we can't stop the Lions. So,
right. Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, the Lions are Super Bowl contenders. The Packers are Super Bowl contenders. Aiden Hutchinson and Micah Parsons are not really that different from each other in terms of, you know, just being game wreckers. So if the Bucks are truly playing for a Super Bowl, if they're trying to play for the playoffs, like, yeah, like if Gadecki or Wirfs isn't there, then they're cooked. Like they're not going to win that game. Like they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle against those two teams specifically. So yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it develops. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline, if anything. Unfortunately, the NFL just seems to be kind of boring with trades, which really sucks because like it's fun when that stuff happens, and there are a lot of things that could improve. There are a lot of teams that could get better, but man, and it's, you know, I know Zach, you've made the point that Jason Light holds on to his draft picks tight, and he certainly does. But he doesn't seem to be the only NFL gem that does that for whatever reason. It's kind of an industry-wide thing. It's starting to change a little bit, though. I feel like the Eagles, even the Commanders, you know, a lot of teams are starting to kind of shift that narrative a little bit. And hopefully that continues to be the case because the NFL.
Both of them were more successful than Tampa last offseason.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's
our last playoff postseason, not offseason. Sorry.
Right. No, I guess. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Commanders haven't been able to bear that success out into the field, but this season. But yeah, the Eagles have been very good. So yeah, we'll see how the trade deadline plays out. But shifting our focus to the Saints game. It's just a bit of a get back game. Like I feel like this is kind of a get right game. You know, they just got kind of embarrassed by the Lions. I'm sure Baker's very angry. He's already done his thing and in press conferences talking about how the Saints are a dirty team and all that, which, hey, bulletin board material, trying to get yourself hyped up for a lesser opponent. I totally get it. Like that's, you know, the Saints are kind of the dregs of the NFL, unfortunately. So you kind of have to pump yourself up a little bit. So Zach, do you think this is kind of a get back game for the Bucks? Think this be an opportunity for them to get back on track?
I do. I think that, not only do I think it's a get-back game, but I also think it could turn into a trap game real quick. And that's kind of my biggest fear with playing the Saints after a win like this is that our whole team's going to want to just go balls to the wall and demolish them, and then it ends up being a what did we beat them by last year, like 12-13 or something?
Right. Yeah, it was way closer than
beating one of those.
Right. Yeah, I don't blame you, man. It's definitely one of those things. They have to play hard, and you know, they're going to be playing with intensity, but also like Baker ran into this a little bit last year. He could, like, you know, that's Baker. He can be a bit of a gunslinger. So still playing in control like he has all year. Like, he has been really, really great about that. So being able to realize, like, hey, like, you know, I'm playing better when I'm myself and a little, you know, playing within myself. I know that's such a cliche, but it's true for Baker. Like, when he starts to do too much, when he starts to get a little antsy and a little amped up, he can make some mistakes. So hopefully he keeps that in mind while he's still trying to, you know, prove that the Saints suck. But Musab, what about you, man? Do you think this is a potential trap game, like Zach said, or do you fully expect the Bucs to just use this as a get back game?
I think it's a get back game. I'm less confident on the whole trap game situation. I don't think we're just going to run them over either. But I mean, they had a god awful performance against the Chicago Bears this past week, and I mean, just outrushed 222-44. Pass game looked, you know, okay, I guess. You know, Chris Olave, you know, turned it up. But, I think we'll be able to get the job done, of course. I mean, we have to. I think the guys are just, you know, going to throw that game in the pass, lock in. You know, we get the bye week after this. So it's just more about just finishing strong before the bye week. And, of course, taking it seriously. I think, you know, we got to play aggressive and I mean, it's an NFC South. So, I mean, it's going to break my heart, you know, if we take an L from the Saints, you know what I'm saying? So
for sure,
especially being in our division, it's just going to be nasty, you know? So,
I'm
excited. And I just hope we clean up on our mistakes, you know, or I hope we see less, of a sloppy game than this Lions game. And hopefully that is the case, because the Saints are definitely not the Lions.
Yeah, they are not the Lions indeed. But you did mention their passing game, which with Chris Olave and Raheem Shaheed, two interesting wide receivers, and then Spencer Rattler. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Spencer Rattler, Musab? Because there's kind of it's kind of been like an interesting topic of discussion, because they spent the second round pick on Tyler Shove or Shove, whatever the hell his last name is. And he's kind of played okay. Like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Spencer Rattler so far this year?
Yeah, kind of like this meh, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't hate the guy, but I'm not gonna be like, oh man, this guy's scary or something.
Right.
You know?
No, so, for sure.
You know, still a young lad, still got time to learn. So he's got hopefully, you know, warm up, and you know, only so much you can do when, you know, it's not like his team has, you know, it's like offensive line specifically is, you know, some, you know, crazy, you know, offensive line either. So
yeah,
he's doing what he can, but it doesn't help, you know, being on the team he's on. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to really make any evaluations, like you said, being on an awful team. It's difficult to really make too many determinations on anyone, really, because they're all just collectively kind of mid. So, you know, when the whole team is bad, like, you can't really point to one specific player and say, oh, what are your thoughts on him as a performer? Like, especially at the quarterback position where you're so dependent on everyone else doing their job, which unfortunately for the Saints, that hasn't happened a whole lot this year. So, I'll be curious to see how they handle the quarterback position for the rest of the year. If they stick with Rattler, maybe they give Show a spot. But what about you, Zach? Have you been high on Rattler, or are you kind of like, who knows?
I don't know that I'd say I'm high on him. I think that he is good enough to be a starter in the NFL. Do I think that he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback in 20 years? No. But right. I do think that he could win you games, and he can lose you games is kind of where I'm at. Like, he's not great, but he's not bad. It's so hard to, I think you said it best when you said just kind of mid. Like, yeah, he really is. He's a good quarterback for the Saints. If you put him on the Chiefs would be pissed off with him as their quarterback. Like,
right, of course.
That's kind of where my head is with him.
Yeah, relative to expectations, I think he's maybe even slightly exceeded them, but the expectations were just pretty much the floor, you know, like.
Well, yeah, I mean, him coming out of college, when he went into college, he was the next big thing.
Yeah, he was hot stuff.
He was the Dylan Raiola of, like, my generation.
Right.
But then he gets into college and just flops. Like, he did not do good.
Yeah.
So when he got, I believe they drafted him in what, like the sixth round?
Fifth or sixth.
He was a late, late pick.
Day three.
I had no hope for him at all in the NFL. In fact, I thought he'd be cut. And for him to be where he is now, like, I think it's just kind of a testament that he's not too proud to be a backup at this point, which is a huge step for a guy who used to be the guy.
And he seemed like he had a mighty high opinion of himself.
100%. He seemed very egotistical, without a doubt.
For sure.
And I think the growth that we've seen in just this year, I mean, his completion percentage is up 10%. And he's played one more game than he did last year. His touchdown interception ratio is down. His QBR is up 10 points. Like, he's making improvements. And we got to remember, he's not even started a full season yet. We're at now 15 games that he started.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely room for growth.
Sorry, 13 games.
No, you're good. There's definitely room for growth. I absolutely agree. Because you know, you come out of high school and you're like one of the most highly touted prospects in a long time. There's clearly something there. You know, there's clearly
100%.
Something. And I think that's still the case. But it was just all about, you know, was he going to be able to put it all together? And did he have a good head on his shoulders? Because I think that was a big thing for me coming out of high school. You just saw all those weird clips of him. Like, I know there's the infamous one where he's like jabbing with his wide receiver. Or, like, it was weird. There were a lot of weird vibes around Spencer Rattler coming out of high school.
Agreed.
So hopefully he's kind of taken that humbling experience at Oklahoma, and he seems to have run with it. You know, he seems to be doing
it. Looks like he's gotten his, for lack of a better term, he's gotten his shit together.
Yeah, yeah, he had his teeth kicked in Oklahoma. Like, he was kind of like brought way back down to earth, and he put some nice stuff together in South Carolina. He had a respectable career for the South Carolina Gamecocks. So I thought that was a good development for him. But yeah, so we'll see how he's able to play against this Bucs defense. Much maligned, but you know, we'll see if the Bucs can maybe do a little bit of a better job against him than they did against Jared Goff in this Lions offense this past weekend. But fortunately, they don't have Jahmyr Gibbs. They don't have Amon-Ra St. Brown. And they certainly don't have Sam Laporta. So hopefully it's a little bit of an easier time. But we're nearing the end of our episode. We've got a couple of segments left, though. Over-unders. I want to get Zach Blaine on this. What are your over-unders for this weekend's game?
At this point, I feel like you got to give a sack over-under. But I also feel like we do that almost every week at this point.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to go over or under 1.5 turnovers. This game, like, we force 1.5 turnovers.
Oh, okay, force 1.5 turnovers. I'm gonna go under, but I do think they force a turnover. I think they force one, and I think they take care of the ball a lot better. I think that we'll get to predictions, but I think they force one turnover, and I don't think it's like an issue. I don't think it's like, oh, they didn't force any turnovers. Like, they should have played better defense. I don't think it'll be an issue. I think it'll just be like, oh yeah, they got a pick or they got a fumble. So I'm going under, but I still think they get one.
I'm going to go. I think they get one as well. That's really about it, though. Yeah, I feel like it's just they make a little bit of noise, but it's not going to be a loud game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over. I'll be the optimistic one today.
Wow.
I'm going to go over. I think that Spencer Rattler's touchdown interception ratio is like 50%. I think he's 8-4 right now. And I think that they're going to try and force some things with it being an NFC South game. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting our defense to get a little more work. I'm not saying it's going to be a shutout, but I do think that they're going to have more opportunity to force turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And then
I can see that being possible if they do what the Bears did, which was just, you know, not establishing Alvin Kamara's run game. So that way Rattler, you know, he's going to be, you know, forced to, you know, just throw the ball more. And then I could see another potential turnover coming from there. So run game defense is definitely going to be a big factor for that.
Absolutely.
Well, it's funny that you brought up Alvin Kamara, because that is my next stat, or my next over under. Do you think he gets over or under 115 all-purpose yards?
I thought you were going to go rushing yards, and I was going to hammer
you.
No,
you hit, you hit me with the all-purpose, and I was like, yeah.
All-purpose makes me raise an eyebrow.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go under. He's long in the tooth, man. Like, he is not he's not the Alvin Kamara of old. And I know that the Bucs defense has struggled mightily against pass catching running backs. Like, Bijan Robinson had a big game. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs had a big game. They have not done a good job, and that kind of starts and ends with Servasie Dennis, unfortunately. But Alvin Kamara is not those guys. You know, like, he's still solid, but he's not
an older version of Jahmyr Gibbs. He was right. Jahmyr Gibbs when he came out.
For sure.
So I'm going to jump in real quick before Musab goes, because I think it's over.
Ooh, okay.
And I'd almost say he gets 100 rushing yards. I'm not guaranteeing it. He's not going to have the type of game that Gibbs had, but I do think he has over 115 all purpose.
All right. How about you, Musab? What you got for this?
Oof. I think he gets the over. With the all-purpose yards, I just feel like it's gonna be a gritty battle at times for whatever reason, and I feel like Saints are gonna have to rely on him to do something, especially after that, you know, awful loss they had, and especially with no run game, they'll find ways to get him involved with some quick passes or something like that, you know. So I'm not gonna, you know, it's not something I would hammer, but I do have to say that I do think that we're gonna keep him under 100 rushing yards. You know, I'm hopeful on that.
And here's the thing, he has not cracked over like his last three games: 28 rushing yards, 31 rushing yards, 27 rushing yards. His rushing attack hasn't been great this year, but he can still do his thing pass catching. You know, he can still do his thing as a receiver. And like I said earlier, like, the Bucs have struggled mightily against these pass catching running backs. So it's definitely a possibility that he hits the over, but I think they hem him in as a rusher. And I think they're able to focus on him enough as a pass catcher, because Chris Olave and Raheem Shaheed, while they're solid wide receivers, they're not exactly game breakers. So I don't think that they have to devote all of their attention to either one or both. So I think they do a bit of a better job of giving Dennis some help, whether it's Tyke Smith or Antoine Winfield Jr. coming in with coverage. I think they do a little bit of a better job, hopefully. Hopefully they've learned their lesson with pass catching running backs. But you got any other over-unders for us, Zach?
I think that's it, unless you want one, and I'll give you another one.
No. Two is a good one. Two is perfect. Three is a crowd. You know,
that's about – wait a second now. There's three of us.
Yeah, I was about to say. Let me backtrack that. Excuse me. All right. Yeah. So maybe that's not true. But regardless, before we get off, I do want to hear some predictions. Who y'all think is going to win, and by how much? Zach, I'll start with you, man. Who you got winning, and by how much?
I got Tampa winning 21-10.
All right, 21-10. I like it. Straight to the point. Musab, how about you, brother? Who you got winning?
I got Tampa winning 27-17. I just feel like it's going to be a little bit more of a gritty battle, more of a grind, you know, not a shootout or anything like that. But I think we find ways to pull it off.
Yeah. I think it's a division game. These are always close games. Like, I know that's kind of hard to hear against the Saints, but I'm going to go with 2016 Bucks. I think the Saints make it a little bit close. You know, I think the Bucks are able to take care of business, but, you know, it's on the road, and it's against a divisional opponent who are bad, but at the same time, you know, any given Sunday and all that stuff. So, I'm glad we're in consensus that we think the Bucks are going to win. But regardless, even if it's a dark day, even if the Bucks go out and lay an egg and they lose to the Saints, we'll still be here next week. We will still be here next Wednesday with another RBLR Bucks show. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Give us a like or subscribe if you like what you heard and you want to stay in touch. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. Remember, always hit those comments, because, you know, we want to hear from y'all. We want to hear some feedback, because we yammer on and talk about our own agendas. But I'm sure y'all have some agendas, too, that you want to push. So we'd love to hear from y'all. But regardless, thank y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my two wonderful co-hosts for making my job easy. We'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.